1, 2, 3.
Welcome to the journey, my friends. You know, somebody told me the other day that this was the best podcast that they have landed on because they were a product owner struggling on a journey. They needed some encouragement from time to time, and it's just chock full of good information, and I'm glad to hear that. Thank you for joining. Welcome to Planet Product Owner. This is your host, Scott. Listen, I know it's been a little bit since I've been out here in front of you again, but again, we're back. So I want to jump right into today's episode, and it's probably not going to be as long, I hope not, as some of the others. Remember the thing about being agile, right? And I've already told you on this podcast about the difference between being agile and doing agile. I heard that again last week or a couple of weeks ago, and it just really set me off. But anyways, being agile is really based off of empirical learning. So we learn by doing things. We reflect on those things, and then we try to do it better next time. That's my definition of agility, you know, and I've shared that with you before. So there's some fundamental practices and behaviors that we can try to coach and teach, mentor, and extract from all of the different materials and the use guides and the papers and all of this stuff, right? And all of those things are central to agility. And we do want to practice those. But from all of those, they're all blended from a mindset, okay? And so what we have to do is we have to take the mindset, right? And we have to apply some thinking patterns and make those make sense to us on what it is that we're trying to pull off here when we're trying to use some of these other methods or tactics or whatever. So you're here on this journey as we share thinking patterns and some real-world examples, of course, about the art of being a product owner. Today, not just for product owners, this is for Scrum Masters, product owners, product managers, and probably even leadership in this episode. There's some fundamental practices, like I say, that we want to apply. And we're all bought into that because we did the training that the organization paid for, that we paid for ourselves or whatever. So we want to apply those things into our mindset. And then the organization enters. How many of you have experienced that where the organization enters into the program, right? They enter into the picture and it's like, whoa, wait a minute. It's kind of contrary. Some of your behaviors here are kind of contrary to what it is that we've been taught or what you even certified me on, right? And so we get into the dilemmas, right, where we're faced with a choice and daily choices like, do we do this first or do we do this second? Do we get approval? Then we apply some concepts of agility after that. Do we get all the requirements up front or do we explore 100% of the unknown and just go, right? Can we truly self-organize? Can we be held accountable to deliver the value? Can we sufficiently create those ideal cross-functional dedicated unicorn teams to get to the full slice of cake that we've all heard about and continually chased through sprints or iterations or time boxes or whatever we call? So we talk a lot about, you know, all these various dilemmas that we have within the organization and as a product owner or product manager, particularly for product owners, you're faced with the choice and the dilemma all the time about, hey, how can I bridge the gap between what the organizational gag factor will support and what it is that we're being taught, coached, and what they're asking us to do when maybe they're not sure about what they're really asking us to do, right? Sorry, guys, but I said it. It's a great question, and there are many topics that we could dive into. Today, we're going to dive into the talk about upfront versus just-in-time on exploring the details around what it is that the team wants to commit to. So it's a great question and a great topic for today's episode. So today what we're going to talk about, is it the chicken, then the egg, or the egg and then the chicken? I don't know. Maybe that's the right analogy to use here. But in either case, sit back and buckle up. Let's get to Planet Product Owner. So the question is, do we develop the user stories first and then we commit to the work, or do we commit to the work first, then develop the user stories? And we get this a lot. I mean, I've seen it. I've been there, done that too. And really, this comes down to kind of this egg, then chicken, or chicken, then egg, right? I mean, that's kind of what it boils down to me, because you can develop the user stories up front and commit to the work and learn more as you go and realize that you were off base to begin with. Right? Or you can commit to the work and then develop the user stories after that, and you can realize, wait a minute, the scope maybe wasn't nailed down as much as what we thought it would be, and we really didn't have a good outcome to start with to qualify that. So let's talk about a couple of different ways we can attack this and apply maybe some thinking patterns around it, and maybe even some rules around it, right, on which one is better for you and your organization. So let's start with developing the user stories and then commit to the work, okay? When does this work best? Well, what I have seen is that if you're in like a scaled agile environment, like a safe environment, it's probably better to develop the user stories than commit to the work. And it doesn't mean, you know, develop every single user story that's out there to complete that feature or that epic, but maybe most of them, right? 80%. I mean, that's kind of what I've always coached the teams to do. But the reason why is because if you're in a scaled agile environment, like a safe environment, you probably have a PI planning event. You probably have some kind of portfolio tie-in to some executive themes. You probably got a large scale of different channels or streams that you're working on, right? Scaled teams, you've got cross dependencies, you've got code on the shelf, you've got kind of this handoffish environment. And I hope that that's not the case for your organization. If it is, Scott at planetproductowner.org. In any event, if that's kind of your case, then it's probably a better idea for you to go ahead and develop the user stories, even if it's just seed stories ahead of time before you commit to the work. That way you know at least 80% of what it is you're getting into before you get going. Like, well, how do we do that and when do we have time to do that? Well, you've got the IP sprint you can work through. Product owner, you should be working through your backlog anyway and through the program backlog for that matter to make sure you're getting ahead of the work. So I think you know where I'm going with that. That's kind of a no-brainer, right? The second one, I think, is do you have a lot of dependencies in enabler-type runway work? Even if you're not in a safe environment or a scaled agile environment, if you have a lot of split-up teams, you've got a larger or more complex development or operational streams, you've got more incremental builds or even some water falling around you. I hear the splashes going around all day long, so it's not so much of a cross-functional team, and it's not so much of a dedicated team, and you've got all of these other things, kind of a lot of plates spinning in the air. You're probably going to want to develop those user stories first and then commit to the work. Go ahead and get those seed stories at least out there so that you can get that done. The reason for that one is obvious, right? Because you don't really have the dedicated functional type or technical teams around you. So you're always going to be waiting on somebody else. So in order to explore those dependencies and reduce as much risk as you can ahead of time, because that's what it's all about. It's about reducing risk, right? And adding value more quickly. You're probably going to want to write those stories out and go ahead and get that going, get it into your feature list or your backlog or however you set all of that stuff up yourself based on your organization. That way you can go ahead and get ahead of the game and you can start exploring what it is you're going to need from those dependencies, and you can map them out a little bit more effectively if you do it that way too. Instead of waiting, right? Because the alternative is commit to the work, then develop the user story, right? The third one and the final one for this segment, do you have a lot of internal stakeholders with a lot of eyes on kind of a split agenda maybe? You may be a large team equipped with multiple teams. You may be a team, right, with maybe a couple of segments of teams, like a system team or a defect team or a quick team and a support team or a fast follower team or whatever. Maybe that's a good idea for you, even if you're not in a scaled or a non-scaled setup. This could warrant, you know, if you have a lot of internal stakeholders with a lot of eyes on it and a lot of split up agendas, they could want to inspect what you're planning to do first, approve it, build it, right? Then deliver it. And then they may want to inspect and approve and build again, right? Because those stakeholders are important, particularly if they're internal. And mapping those out would be a good practice for you as well. So maybe those are some conditions that you want to develop the user stories, or at least the seed stories, right? And commit to the work after you've done that, as opposed to the other way around. It bothers me, right? Because like in the true sense of agility, that's not the way we should be operating, but we got to get real, right? We got to work with the cards that were dealt. We got to play them and we got to feel our way through it. So a lot of times organizational constraints are going to put those barriers around us and put those constraints around us. But as you'll learn in the last segment, so stick around for that, please, I'm going to wrap this up and give you some ideas around why I'm going in the direction that I am. Even though it's controversial, I know that, okay? So hang tight for the next quick segment, and we're going to talk about committing to the work and then developing the user stories. Kind of, I guess that's the chicken, then the egg. I don't know. Somebody will have to help me with that. But I'll give you some conditions set around that and maybe some guidelines that might help you out and some benefits to doing it that way too. So stick around. So we talked about some of the conditions where you may want to consider writing your user stories or developing those and then commit to the work. Now let's talk about committing to the work and then developing the user stories. If you're in a standalone shop and you're in control of the outcomes, you're pretty much already doing that, I hope. I hope that you're going ahead and making a commitment to some larger goal in your iteration if you're time boxing it, or even if you're in like a Kanban or a Kanban, whatever you want to call it. I hope that you have some kind of goal around some kind of time span, right? Because a goal without a end date is a dream. Isn't that what they say? Something like that. I'm probably messing that up. But if you're in a standalone shop and you're in control of that, get your goals out there. You've probably got a dedicated team or some kind of cross-functional team. You're usually not bothered with a lot of overhead from management timelines, right? Or from management itself. Timelines maybe not so important because delivery is fairly consistent. If you're doing it that way and you got a fairly consistent delivery, take advantage of that and say, hey, we're going to commit to the work, but it's not that we're committing necessarily to the work. We're committing to the goal, to the outcome, what it is that we're striving for here as a team. That's going to keep you kind of focused right there. So if you're developing a bunch of user stories now, and then you're committing to the work and you're pretty much in total control of your domain, you may be wasting some work, right? Because you've probably seen that. You've probably seen, well, you know, I went down the rabbit hole of developing all of these user stories right here. And really the next priority that we have is not even related to that, right? So make sure you've got your goals and your goal oriented in your time box, okay? The next one is you're in a pilot and try it type, or buy it and try it. You're innovative, you're disruptive. You don't have a lot of outside influences or timelines, right? Maybe you do have timelines and they're really tight. So you may just need a just-in-time type approach, which is really what you want, by the way. But if you're in this kind of buy it and try it, or pilot it and try it, so to speak, environment, you know, that's a good time to commit to work and develop the user story. So remember, when we say commit to the work, I really want everybody, and if you're listening to this anywhere in the world, right, in which you are, I mean, obviously you're listening to it. The point is that I want you to start thinking in terms of committing to work as committing to goals. Don't focus so much on the work, because the work is always going to be the work. There's always work. We're not working to work. We're working to hit a goal. That's what we've got to keep in mind, okay? So if you're improving your delivery, or delivery is consistently sustained, then committing to the work or the goal, right, is probably the direction you want to go. Then develop your user stories out of that, because that's going to give you a little bit more innovation. It's going to give you a little bit more creativity too, right? Now, the third thing I think here, the third, I guess, dimension that works for you if you're committing to the work or to the goal, okay, first, then developing your user stories, is if you're a small scaled team of teams, right? If you're a small team of team scaled type thing, if you're focused on a lot of non-distributed type work streams, if those are committed to rapid delivery of value, like some kind of contract delivery, right? You own your own environments, you're doing a lift and shift or replacement or something like that, and you have control over that, even though you're scaled in some way, or you have a team of teams, that usually kind of fits the mold of like a standalone, but it has no technical tie maybe to the organization, right? Maybe for customized work or something like that. Then it makes sense to commit to the work, and we're going to replace work goal with the word goal. Commit to the goal, then develop the user stories. That's probably going to work out better for you, right? So I hope you're picking up what I'm laying down now, right? Because a lot of times we commit to work and then we write stories or develop stories. But we shouldn't be committing to work. We should be committing to goals, all right, outcomes, okay? So I think y'all are getting that by now on the journey here. Remember, we're on the journey. I'm trying to bring you around to the thinking patterns here that make sense to us. And maybe there's a little bit more domain language wrapped around this, right? That we can start incorporating as a group, as a journey, as a community here. So hang tight. Let's get to really, I think I'm going to land this plane here in a minute. And if you have not invited your leadership to listen, this might be a good one to bring them in on this last segment. Okay, stick around. So we're going to land this plane. I know it's quick. It's like, Scott, wait, hold on a minute. Want more. But I've said a lot. If you really listen to what I've said, I've said a lot. I've brought you around to the idea that we need to start thinking in terms of goals, and not just goals, but the right goals, the right next goals, the right next best goal. Okay? Because we don't want to meet to meet. Well, I've said that before, and I've told you my frustration with having 57 people in a meeting, you know, for 2 hours at a time, 3 days a week, and how much money that costs and how little you get done and how many extra and additional side conversations take place outside of that stuff. So why are we meeting in PI planning, right, if we're in that thing? Well, we want to have some outcomes, right? We want to have some goals. We want to have the right goals, right? Why is it that we're some self-organized, fully dedicated, 100% standalone, almost, you know, whatever team, and we're committing to work? Why are we committing to work? Why aren't we committing to goals? So I want to bring you around to that and make sure that you get that. So just-in-time delivery or just-in-time modeling of this, getting those, you know, goals together and writing those stories and producing that output, that's obviously the best, right? I mean, that's the best thing because you reduce the waste, you reduce the risk, and you're focused on the goal, if you are. I hope you are. But in today's scaled world and sometimes, you know, more robust organizations with different technical touch points and endpoints and split teams and stakeholders breathing down your neck and all of that stuff, right? Sometimes that's a pipe dream. And, you know, without proper management, it is at least. But, you know, here's the thing. I hear people often say, lead people and manage work. I would challenge that by saying, lead people to manage work. There's a difference. When we talk about them managing work, we're talking about letting them figure out how to get it done, but it's our job to provide the goal. So product owner, where do you come in on that? Well, product owner, you know I'm going to say it. Those sprint goals are really important. And what you walk away with out of your planning, if it's a single development initiative planning, if it's PI planning, if it's quarterly planning, if it's weekly planning, whatever it is, right? The right goals for the team, that's the outcome. That's what we're seeking. Then let them manage their own work to figure that stuff out, right, to get you there. So you can use any of these methods, right? Doing it first or doing it last, writing the stories first, then committing to the goal, or committing to the goal and then writing the stories. You can do it either way, but you got to leverage the methods, right? You got to leverage what makes the most sense out of it. So one of the things you can leverage if you're doing the upfront story authoring, right, and then committing to that goal, if you're doing that first, here's what you've got to help leadership understand. You've got to help them understand that, hey, look, we spend a lot of time and effort in developing, you know, what it is it's going to take to reach this goal. And this is going to help us with context switching if you will respect our plan. Okay. So, and you respect that team commitment to that goal, then you're going to help us with context switching, right? And kind of preventing that. And that obviously reduces risk of delivery. You can do it the other way too. If you're truly just in time, or if you're, you know, committing to some goal and then you're developing those user stories, you know, that's going to reduce the waste because you're not stepping through the seven layers of the candy cane forest, right, to get approvals, and you're not working three levels deep into some backlog that's not going to get prioritization. And so by doing that, you're getting the opportunity to build more, deliver more, and more importantly, gain more trust that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're proving yourself in a sense of agility, right? So remember this, and if you don't take anything away from this episode, okay, we talk about committing to work, and then we debate whether or not we want to write user stories first or after, okay? Look, if we're committing to a goal, it doesn't matter, right? We've committed to a goal now. It doesn't matter about the work. There's always going to be work. We should measure what we manage. We should manage what we measure. Okay? Delivering value is what we should be doing. So if we're delivering value, it makes sense to me that that's what we should be measuring and managing, and not the debate over, when do I write my user story? What does it matter if you committed to a goal or not? Do you have a goal to commit to, right? So that's the thing. So product owner, encourage you here to, and challenge you maybe to get those sprint goals finely tuned. What is your observable? Is it demonstrable? Do I say that right? What's your observable, demonstrable, testable, complete, usable? All of those things, right? What is the goal? What's the outcome from that thing? I'm not going to go into shippable, potentially shippable, on the shelf, code review. What, I'm not going to go into that on this episode, but start with the goals first, because you'll be able to fine tune those and tweak those as you go through more and more iterations. If you're on a cycle like that, if you're on a time box iteration, if you're in a Kanban or Kanban world, we're worried about getting the work done, but I'm hoping that we're being driven by a goal. What is the goal that we're trying to do, right? What are we trying to produce? And I think that's the same thing. You know, it's observable. Now, we may have different work types and classes of service coming through there, but we do know that there are some prioritized things that we have to make sure that we're doing, because we've delineated those with class of service or whatever, right? And I'll talk more about that a little bit later, but the main thing is, let's focus on the goals first and stop maybe using words like commit to the work. The work's always going to be there. We're always going to have work. We should be committing on goals, okay? So I hope that makes sense to you, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please give me some feedback on this. I'm curious of your thoughts. If you have any topics or suggestions or any just general questions you want to ask, feedback, positive or negative, tell me to go jump off of a cliff or tell me you love it. I love both sides of the feedback, and thank you so much for all your feedback and all your support. Tell some friends and colleagues, and until next time, have a safe, fun, lean journey, my friends.